The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 21 and beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now because they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you to take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And as we listen to your word this day, we pray that you would feed our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. So would you like to have a seat? Have you had a good breakfast? Do you usually have a good breakfast? I know some people don't always on Sunday. Well, that's supposed to be the most important meal of the day, isn't it? Jesus starts a new beginning with breakfast. That's pretty good, actually, isn't it? A new beginning with breakfast. This is, according to John, this is the third of Jesus' resurrection appearances. Well, it depends how you count the other Gospels. I think you can count another 7. But this might be the third time that he's appeared only to the disciples on their own, and that maybe that there were others there before. We're not sure. Really, it doesn't matter. What's great is that this is a wonderful story of Jesus spending time with his mates and caring for them, which is a powerful thing. We're not quite sure when this happened. Last week we heard that John finished writing his gospel, but we also heard that he was probably an old man on the Isle of Patmos. At the end of last week's gospel reading, we heard that John had written everything that we needed to know that we might believe and have life. But after he's finished writing, because most of the scholars agree that this is like an epilogue that he's added, you know, even if only a week later, he's thought, oh, actually, I really should tell them about that breakfast we had on the beach. That might be really helpful to know that. So he's added this chapter, which was added quite soon after, and there's no question that it's from John, and it's a powerful account. Peter has probably already had a talk to Jesus, and they've probably already reconciled themselves after Peter let Jesus down. But now, Jesus is going to recommission Peter. And I wondered what you could call this sermon if you gave it a title. I thought you could probably call it When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Go Fishing. You could probably try and call it that. I think we might call it Master Chef, though, because Jesus is going to cook breakfast for these guys on the beach. And Jesus is a bit of a master chef, isn't he? He does tend to cook up for us what we need. And Jesus does three really practical things in our passage today. First of all, he cares for the disciples. He cares for their most basic need. He stops and he makes them breakfast. One week, I'm going to have to come and make breakfast for you at 8 o'clock. So you'll have to get someone else, and I'll come and make breakfast for you. We'll have to do that one week, and we'll let St. Matthew's sort themselves out that day. Don't listen to this, St. Matthew's people, and I'll come and make you breakfast. But it's a powerful thing. The Lord of heaven and earth made them breakfast. That's the first thing. Secondly, after they'd been out fishing all night and they'd failed to get anything, Jesus showed them where they could get a really good catch. Jesus showed them a better way. Jesus came to show us a better way, didn't he? And thirdly, Jesus shows Peter that beyond our mistakes, beyond the times we let him down, Jesus still sees our potential and he forgives us. And he eggs us on to do better. Jesus wants more from us. And Jesus believes in us. And those are three really powerful things. Well, we're not sure. We think this is probably a week or two after the resurrection. We can't time it exactly. The disciples have left Jerusalem and they're back up in Galilee, it seems. They'll come back down towards Jerusalem for the ascension. But Peter's had enough. I'm going fishing, he says. I'm going fishing. I'm not much of a fisherman, I have to say, but I can see the advantages of it. I'm going fishing. And so he gets his boat and he heads off. And the other disciples say, we're coming too. What a good idea. And so they go fishing. Why did they go fishing? Maybe, simply, they needed to eat. That's a practical reason. People try to make all sorts of other motives out of why they go fishing. Were the disciples being unfaithful because Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem till power came from on high? But now they're fishing. They've gone fishing. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they're still so confused by the events of the last few weeks that they just need some time out. Anyway, they've gone fishing. And they spend all night out in a boat. Now, Frank, you'd have to tell us about this. I've never spent all night out in a boat, ever. And certainly not all night fishing in a boat. I have to say, I quite like the land and I quite like a warm bed. So I'm never going to be a good fisherman in that sense. But they've spent all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And they've caught nothing. I think the reason I'm not a good fisherman is I would never be a patient fisherman, and that would be a complete waste of time. They've spent all night, and as they approach the shore, about 100 metres off, 100 yards, 100, what did it say, about 100 feet from the shore, this person on the beach calls out, "Children, I see you've caught nothing." I'd be getting annoyed already. I don't know about you, but I'd be getting annoyed. I'd already be fed up, but I'd be getting annoyed. Why don't you try on the other side? Now me, I'd be thinking, I've been out all night. And now you think, anyway, the disciples, whatever reason, decide to try on the other side of the boat. And they catch an enormous haul of fish, so big that it almost tips the boat over. And John, when you see the words of the disciple Jesus loved, we think it's John. John says, it's the Lord. They haven't recognized Jesus. Maybe because Jesus' appearance has changed after the resurrection. That's one possibility. Maybe just because it's the early hours and the light's not good and they're not close to the shore. For whatever reason, initially, they didn't recognize Jesus. It's the Lord. And Peter's getting his mojo back, isn't he? Peter's got his robe wrapped around him. I'm not sure about the whole fishing naked thing. I'd like to think it was hot work and he'd stripped down, but we won't go too far with that. But he's got his robe around him and he jumps in the water and he swims to Jesus. And there's all sorts of images that I love in this. First of all, do you remember the last time Peter got out of a boat for Jesus? Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter wants to walk on the water too. Lord, can I do that too? Yes, you can, says Jesus. I think that's probably not the answer, Peter. Was it? Yes, you can. And Peter gets out. And after only a few steps, he thinks, hang on a minute. And he starts to sink. Peter's not going to let the water keep him away from Jesus this time. He's in the water and he's on the beach with the Lord. And Jesus has got a fire going and he's cooking some fish and he's making breakfast. What a great way to find Jesus, making breakfast. They must have been hungry after the night and making breakfast. And Jesus, Peter is so passionate to be with his Lord, to make up for letting him down, that he just can't wait to get there. It's a wonderful inch. Meanwhile, the other disciples try to bring the catch into the shore, and they get the boat close to the shore, but they're unable to haul the net of fish in. Peter goes back and hauls it in, and it must have been quite a weight. 153 fish, John takes care to tell us, were in their net. A catch of 153 fish. Apart from a couple of toadies, I've only ever caught one whiting in my life, and it was about that big, and it wasn't even big enough to eat, so we had to throw that back as well. 153 fish. And Peter goes and drags. It shows us that Peter was quite a big, hefty fellow, that he can drag this net in that the other disciples together had struggled to do. 153 fish. And don't ask me what that's about. I tried to work out what 153 fish were about. What it's about is, I think that's how many fish got caught in the net. But theologians have too much time, and there was all of this stuff about it being 153 is the total of all the numbers from 1 to 17, and 7 and 10 means this, and 7 is this, and 10 is that, and I just feels like trying too hard for me. They caught 153 fish because that's how many were swimming nearby. I don't know that the Gospels are that cryptic. John would have told us if there was more that we needed to know, because he said only in the previous chapter, this is to tell you everything you need to know. 153 fish. If I'd been out all night in my boat and I hadn't caught anything, and then Jesus had said, try over there, and I'd got a net full, I'd have counted everyone as well, because it's amazing, isn't it? 153 fish. And Jesus says, get some of the fish that you've caught and come and bring them over here and let's have breakfast. And it's different to the last time Jesus made a meal with bread and fish, isn't it, that we've read about? Because the last time there was a crowd of 5,000 or more. And Jesus had five small loaves and two fish that a young boy had provided. And Jesus took them and multiplied them so that there was enough. Jesus can do that. But Jesus is showing the disciples that now is the time that he wants to take the fruit of their efforts and use it and multiply it. And so Jesus takes their fish and adds it to the breakfast. That's really powerful. And so Jesus cares to their most basic need. After a night of being out on the ocean and working hard and fishing and getting frustrated and catching nothing, he gives them what they need. He gives them breakfast, he gives them care, he gives them friendship, he gives them the reassurance of his presence. And they eat breakfast together. And then after breakfast, he turns to Peter and he says, Simon, son of John. Notice he uses the name from before Peter was called. Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than these? More than what? More than the boat and the fish? I hope so. More than the other disciples? That might be what Jesus is asking. More than all of this other stuff together, what's Jesus asking Peter? I think Jesus is drawing Peter's attention to the fact that Peter makes great claims. Peter promised Jesus that he would follow him even to death. Peter spoke great words of love and loyalty when Jesus spoke about crucifixion. Lord, I will follow you even if it means death. And then Peter let Jesus down. Jesus predicted that Peter would do it, but Peter let him down. Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me, Peter. And Peter does. And he's distraught by it. Do you love me more than these? That's what you've claimed before, Peter. Now I'm giving you another chance. Do you love me more than these? When I went to, in primary school, I think it was about grade four, I remember my primary school teacher telling me that verbs are doing words. And the word love in our Bible, I think, is always best thought of as a verb. It's not just a word to describe a feeling. It's an action word. Love in the Gospels is a word that requires action. Peter, do you love me more than these? Then don't just say it, do something about it. Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my lambs. Look after my little ones, Peter. He's putting Peter in charge of the church, isn't he? He's making Peter the leader of the disciples. Tend my lambs, my little ones who can't yet take care of themselves. Give them everything they need. I'm giving you everything you need this morning. Give them everything they need. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. And the image is now not just of fishing, is it? But it's of agriculture. It's of a shepherd looking after his flock, of caring for those that have been put in his charge. Take care of my sheep. And the third time Jesus asks, and Peter's really hurt because he knows this is about the three times he denied Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything, Peter declares. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs, Jesus says. Feed my lambs. And Peter's reinstated, isn't he, as one of the key disciples. And Peter goes on, and Peter learns, and the lesson is there for us as well, that the times we let Jesus down, the mistakes that we made, don't get in the way of him seeing potential in us and believing in us and giving us forgiveness and a chance to do more. And it's a good thing, isn't it? And it might be that we need gentle words from Jesus like Peter receives. It might be that we need a bit of a bigger stick or a more dramatic moment like Paul had in the reading from Acts today. They've been talking about Saul from Tarsus, who's been rounding up the Christians and persecuting them. And Jesus comes to him on the road and he's struck down and blinded. And for 3 days he doesn't see. And then Jesus sends to Paul Ananias, one of the faithful, to pray for him to be healed, and Paul's life is changed. How is it for you? Do you hear Jesus' gentle voice? Do you need a bit more of a hit over the head sometimes? Jesus is always speaking to us and nudging us and encouraging us and wanting the best for us. And that's the good news of our gospel this morning. Ever felt that you've struggled in your Christian life, that you've not been good at it, that you've let the Lord down? Hear from the Gospels is an example of how Jesus always gives us another go. Do you love me? Jesus asks each of us. I need to leave you to answer the question. Do you love me? Let me see it. Is the subtext, isn't it? Show me your love. Don't just talk about love. Don't just be people who talk about love me and never show it in their life. Show me that you love me. Feed my lambs. Take care of my flock. Give my love to the world. That's what Jesus says in his final words at the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you always. So another powerful moment with Jesus before the ascension. A memorable breakfast on a beach. Let's thank the Lord for the times that Jesus has looked at us and given us what we need. The times when we've tried hard. And notice when the disciples tried hard on their own that they got no fish. When they did it the Lord's way, there was a big catch. John begins the gospel by telling us how Jesus went to the disciples and told them he would make them fishers of men. Now he's telling them, if you listen to me, I'll help you get a great catch. The call is the same for us. We have a Lord who, as our master chef, if you like, cooks up our every need for us. He gives us everything we need to follow him in life. And not only that, he believes in us that we can do it. He puts his trust in us, even when we let him down. And when we do, he picks us up and he forgives us. And he challenges us to move on and to do greater things. And he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit so that we can do that. Do you love me? Jesus asks this morning. I pray the answer to our prayer is, yes, Lord, you know that we love you. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the life you won for us so freely on the cross. We thank you for the call to come and follow you. And we ask, Lord, that as we follow you, that our eyes might be open to your instruction, to living faithfully your way. Thank you for your forgiveness for the times we've wandered from your way. And thank you for the great potential that you see in us and for the great harvest of fish that can be wrought when we faithfully follow you into your kingdom. In your name we pray.